From New York, I'm Evie.
I'm Aaron.
And we're Awesomed by Comics. Welcome to the Awesomed by Comics podcast, episode number 144, season 3 of our weekly wrap-up of the week that was in the world of comics, the season of disco. We have a bunch of categories, and we hand out weekly awards to comics, characters, creators, and other things that we are awesomed by, and some that we are most decidedly not awesomed by, and you are making a lot of noise.
You are making a lot of noise
with your talking.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do a Putting Things Away podcast.
All right. Well, you should have done that before we started.
And you're disturbing it with all your talk.
Mm.
All your words. All your highfalutin words. You flew too close to the sun!
All right, so
it's like the Oscars if the Oscars were a weekly podcast, and if Oscar was the former mayor of a town in Virginia who was upset by his town's decline into poverty, who read old books on magic, then summoned one of the six-fingered hand, who promised to save the town in return for him taking the form of a demon and kidnapping Patsy Walker, but who was trapped in his demon form when he tried to warn off Patsy's defender's teammates instead of killing them.
Is that... I don't know who that is.
No, you don't, but I do.
You want to share? Or are you busy putting shit away?
I am busy putting shit away. Come back to me. Come back to
But I'm just waiting for the answer.
Come back. You can blame it all on these wires that I'm putting away.
Okay.
It's Gargoyle, our Isaac Christians.
Oh. Gargoyle was, what was he just
he
in?
He was in one of the Fear Itself.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps the Fear Itself. Perhaps one of the Fear Itself tie-ins.
Yeah, I don't remember.
We'll never know. I don't remember either.
I just don't remember what he did. It was Heroes for Hire.
Heroes for Hire, the Fear Itself tie-in.
Yes. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about this week's comics, so please make sure you've read what you would like to read so we do not spoil them.
Also, we are going to swear up a storm. This episode of the Awesome Bike... Oh, speaking of storms...
Uh-oh.
This episode of the Awesome by Comics podcast is brought to you by Rain Dance, which is a storm that when it rains, which is created by Waylord, which is the Bouncing Waylord podcast, which is a really a stretch to go from that segue.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were just on another pod. This is the fourth podcast that we've ever been on.
Yep.
Counting you as part of we.
Right.
Like third and a half.
Yep, we were on the Bouncing Waylord podcast.
We were on the Bouncing Waylord
Pokemon podcast. And if you don't care about Pokemon, and if you think we talk too much about Pokemon, then you certainly
stay
do
the
not
hell away from
listen.
The show. But if you do like Pokemon and want to listen to, I don't know how long they edit these down to,
yeah,
but it was about 2 hours when we recorded it. So
right.
If 2 hours of Pokemon talk sounds like your kind of thing,
go for it.
Then absolutely, by all means, Google Waylord Pringles.
Yes, you'll find it.
Really, Google Waylord Pringles anyway, just to make E. Seamus's day. He is the host of, one of the hosts of Bouncing Waylord. Along
Indeed.
With Square and Sniffles, perhaps. I don't remember
Spiffy.
What their fake names were.
Square
Spiffy.
And Spiffy.
Right, Spiffy. Sniffles. That should be my fake name.
Yes.
I'm Evie. I'm Sniffles. And we're awesomed by the common
anyway,
cold.
Thank you
for the Bouncing Waylords
for having us on.
And it was a whole lot of fun, as Pokemon talk tends to be.
Mm-hmm.
They, in addition to watching the cartoon, which we watch, and playing the games, which we play, they also watch the Japanese anime as it has been subtitled by fans. I believe they call those fan subs.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Is that what they call them?
That is what they call them, as they are subbed by fans.
Oh, my God, that reminds me.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what's happening in my office tomorrow?
I have no idea what's happening in your office tomorrow.
What's his name? Matthew Davis.
I don't know who that
is. Who plays Neville Longbottom.
Oh, my goodness.
In the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, my goodness.
He's coming into my office for a video interview, and he's going to not only get a video interview, he's going to read Harry Potter fan fiction on the video.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds like super fun.
It's going to be so awesome.
Now, when you proposition him, which of your pickup lines are you planning to use?
I'm not going to proposition him.
Oh, you should.
I know, he's pretty hot.
Are you kidding me? He's not only Neville, he's like ridiculously hot Neville.
He is really hot.
He's super hot.
In case you don't know this all, you know, obviously when he was a young 10-year-old cast in the movie, he was chubby and awkward, and he was, you know, perfect Neville, whatever. And then he got older and he turned super hot.
Right.
So they can't have Neville turn super hot
so
in the movie because Neville doesn't.
A bit in the movie.
Yeah, Neville doesn't turn super hot in the book. So they had to add stuff to his teeth, and they like have to push his ears forward and stuff like that because he just got too cute.
I know.
So anyway, I'm pretty excited.
But if we had, you know, those, what was that episode of Friends where they had like free, get out of relationship free things?
Uh-huh.
You can totally have one for Neville.
Yeah, I don't need it for Neville. That's
okay.
Fine.
Well.
I'm excited to.
Good.
To see him at work. And
excellent. Well, proposition him for me then.
All right, I will.
Because I will totally use one of my get out of relationship free cards on Neville.
Neville's on your list.
Neville's on my list.
All right.
Everyone from Harry Potter.
Everyone.
It's Neville and who's the guy who plays Mad-Eye Moody?
Oh, right.
Meatloaf?
No, what the hell's his name?
I don't know.
Just saw his name earlier today.
I don't know what his name is, but he's totally on my list.
It's like Brendan something.
Sure.
Or
other. And who's the crazy lady?
Oh, Helena Bonham Carter.
Yes. Helena Bonham Carter.
I know you like the girl who plays Cho also, I'm sure.
I do. Well, I don't know. She hasn't been in like three movies, so
that's
I don't know what she looks like now. Is Ginny legal yet?
Probably. I don't know.
She's cute. I like her.
She's cute. The actress might be legal by now. Don't know.
I'm not on the, what the hell's Hermione's name again? Her real name?
Emma Watson.
Yeah, I'm not a big Emma Watson person. She's too tiny.
Yeah, she's pretty tiny.
She's tiny. She's teeny tiny.
She is teeny tiny.
And I mean, Ginny's teeny tiny too, but she's tall at least.
Yeah.
And maybe Emma Watson's tall. They just make her look small to be Hermione, but she looks pretty small.
Yeah.
In the
I think she's pretty teeny tiny.
Anyway.
All right.
What were we talking? Yeah, yeah.
Well, so we're just saying, thank you to
Google Waylord Pringles.
Yep.
And then listen to their show if you are cool with listening to 2 hours of Pokemon.
Right. Then please visit our blog at awesomedbycomics.com or send an email to awesomedbycomics@gmail.com.
And hey, while you're at the blog, feel absolutely free. And in fact, feel more than free. Feel obligated to leave your choices for our categories.
Yes, we were.
Because they're not just our categories, they're your categories.
That's right. We
as
were
well.
Saying today how we don't actively enough encourage people to leave their own choices for our categories in
so
the
please,
blog comments.
We encourage.
But please
you.
Leave them in the blog comments and not email to us.
Because that won't. We won't read them on the next show.
Right. Yeah. We won't. We won't. That's not. You know. We want to share it with the audience. So
for that show.
Yes.
So please leave them. A special thanks to the Punish Hipster.
Oh, yes.
Who got the Bouncing Waylord crew turned on to our show, because apparently he's a listener to our show.
Even
as
though
well.
They don't read comics, which is weird.
Yeah, the guys who do the show don't read comics, but the Punish Hipster does, and he plays Pokemon. So where was I going with?
I have no
idea.
I
was going somewhere. I was thanking him for letting these other people know about our show.
Right.
Oh, and spread the word is what I'm saying. If you like our show and you know someone else who may or may not read comics, because apparently you don't need to read comics to listen to this show.
Which I think is absurd.
I think that's absurd too. I wouldn't listen to this show. I mean, I don't listen to this show anyway, but I wouldn't listen to a show like this if I didn't read comics.
Right.
Although, I mean, I don't fix cars and I listen to car talk.
Well, yeah, but you can learn from that. You don't need to have the context. Like, they explain.
Right.
It's not the same. It's not quite the same.
And I don't eat, but I listen to... what are those guys?
Sporkful.
Thank you.
You don't eat?
Wait, yes, I do.
Yes, you do. So we have a couple of emails. One is from Josh in Las Vegas, who asked what our feelings are on the end of Secret Six after August.
Despair.
I mean, not really a tough question. devastation, obviously. It's
how do you feel
favorite,
knowing your pets will die?
It's you know, that is my favorite series by far, superhero series at least, and I think it's amazing. And it is definitely the worst casualty of the reboot, in my opinion. And yeah, it totally sucks. Especially this week's was
amazing,
pretty freaking awesome. So. That just made it even harder. But yes, obviously, very sad.
Yeah, incredibly sad. But I have a feeling they'll be back.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be back in some form or another, yeah. But I really liked them having their own.
Me too.
Their own monthly. We also got an email from Papa Claw.
What?
Who, that's his handle.
All right.
Papa Claw.
That's cool. You can call me Sniffles for the next 5 minutes during this email.
He said that he just had two discs removed from his neck and had a vertebrae fused.
Oh.
And the recovery process is forcing him out of work for 8 weeks and he can't lift anything over 5 pounds.
Oh, Papa?
Yes.
Papa, we're sorry.
He's forced to sit...
Wait, is it Papa Claw? Or is it Pop-a-Claw?
It's all one word. P-O-P-A-K-L-A-W.
Not
so like
P-A-P-A.
Right.
C-L-A-W.
So that would be super funny, actually. If it was actually like Papa Claw,
right,
but it was also a Wolverine pun. But
I
actually, it's just a Wolverine pun.
All right.
Unless
that's too
it's
sad.
Also, because he does say that he has a kid. So
maybe his kid's a little claw.
Yeah. So anyway, he's forced to sit on the couch all day watching movies, playing video games, and reading. So it made him think, is there a book or series? First of all, I want to say that I went through this 4 years ago myself. I had a...
It was
vertebrae.
Your lower back.
Yeah, it was my lower back, but I had a spinal fusion, and I was also out of work. Well, for only 6 weeks, but still, I was bored out of my brain. Anyway, he says, is there a book or series that you always wanted to read or reread, but just didn't have the time? Now, the problem is, with me, this is like fucking everything.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even, I could like start to list them, but it would just be pointless. Like, because I started reading comics about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those comics that everybody has read from all the decades before that I haven't.
Right.
I want to read all those. And I have not, people
See,
will be like,
I don't think you do want
to read
all of
them. All of them.
Because
I want to read
a lot of them are in old timey style and
well,
you don't like
yes,
that.
But like things like I have never read, for example, The Dark Knight. Whatever that is.
Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns.
Right.
I've never read that. And everyone's like, how could you not have read that? And I'm like, dude, give me like 1,000 more hours in my week and I will catch up with all this shit that I did not read when it came out. So.
Now, the problem is getting those things. Because I will say, in terms of rereading, I've been meaning to go back, and I have the full run of Static,
mm-hmm.
Dwayne McDuffie's Static, and I've been meaning to go back and reread that for about 7 years,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't, even started. I took them out of the box they're in once. I took like the first 10 out,
mm-hmm.
and then something happened, and then I just put them back,
right.
and I never reread them. But that took me like 2 years to put together because that's not collected anywhere.
Right.
So for me, if I had to pick something that is accessible and I could read, you know what would be good? Get one of those like Marvel sells those or used to sell those DVDs. I'm sure you can still get them of like PDFs of all their old comics.
Right.
I have the Avengers one and I've read that. Not front to back, but they have them for Avengers, Fantastic Four, Captain America, and Spider-Man, and probably X-Men. So you could do that. It could be fun and also horrible to go and reread like all the big crossovers of the last decade or so.
Mm.
Maybe they hold up better when reading it all in one bunch. Because I know, like, I hated Secret Invasion while it was going on, but I wonder if it would read better going back and reading it all in one shot.
Possibly.
It
did go awfully slow, so I'm sure if it's all compressed,
right.
It might be better.
Exactly. So that's what I'm thinking. Maybe Final Crisis might make some fucking sense.
Maybe.
So that's a possibility, and that's probably, you know, if you're a regular weekly comics reader, that might be stuff you have lying around already.
Right.
Oh, geez. I mean, I would recommend picking up all the Runaways digests.
Yeah, for sure.
But those are really quick reads.
Yeah.
I also like the Essentials series from Marvel, which reprints in black and white the old comics. DC has one too, and I can't remember what it's called, but I don't like DC's older stuff.
Omnibus? Omnibus is also
Omnibus
Marvel.
Is like the really expensive kind.
Right.
These are the cheapo newsprint.
Right.
Crap paper, black and white. But it works well. Like there's a my favorites from Marvel that I have are the Defenders and the first Fantastic Four. Or no, the second Fantastic. The first Fantastic Four is all right. Second Fantastic Four is amazing. Or maybe it's the third fan. I have the first three. One of them is amazing. The rest are all right. Whichever one has like the famous Reed, Kirby, Black Panther, Inhumans, Galactus, all that shit in it. And I have Daredevil, but that's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love the Defenders one. There's also a lot of like really good indie stuff that
I will also say that I am a female who reads comics who has never read a single word of Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
And
or Strangers in Paradise.
Or Strangers in Paradise, which is really
good. Which is another one.
Because, right. So those are ones that mm-hmm. are definitely...
Really? You gave me Sandman.
I know. I gave it to you back before I read comics.
Oh, I guess that was before you read comics,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, I just gave it to you like for your birthday or something.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, there's lots of options. But I wish you all the best in your
yes.
recovery. And definitely enjoy... enjoy the time off, even though it will suck. And make sure that you get up and walk around as
yes.
much as possible.
Yes.
That's
Evie
very
didn't
important.
Get up and walk around
I
as
did,
much
but not as,
not
much,
as much as,
I,
as you should
as
have.
I should have.
I will yell at you. I will yell at you. Who is this again? Doc? Papa?
Papa
Claw?
Yes.
I will yell at you, Papa, if you don't... that sounded very Russian lit.
I
will yell at you, Papa, if you do not walk to heal.
Yeah. Finally, before we get to the awards,
please, may I have more bread?
I decided to just ask our listeners about this. So a small publisher asked if we accept show sponsorships or advertising. This is the first time this has ever happened where someone actually was like...
we want you know, to sponsor you.
You know, can we take sponsors? And like... I'm pretty sure that I'm going to say no because, like, you all, I mean, you know, our whole sponsorship thing has been, like, fake ones. And
right.
we would rather, I mean, frankly, if we get on and start talking about, like, this publisher who, as of yet, we have never read.
Well, that's the problem.
Like, everyone's going to be like, oh, you guys totally sold out. And, like, yeah,
right.
it was sort of, you know.
yes,
I mean,
we would have.
I'm not saying that this publisher's, I'm not going to say who it is, but I'm not going to say the publisher's stuff isn't good. We just don't know.
Right.
And
this puts us in the awkward situation of reading their stuff and saying, oh no, we're not going to let you sponsor us.
Right.
Which makes us look like dicks
or
accepting
just saying,
it and, you know, selling
like,
it to
hey,
you guys.
You should like totally check this out because they're giving us money. So
now on the chance that it's great stuff.
Yeah.
Then it looks like it's not so great, and people take our recommendations less seriously if
right.
they're sponsoring us.
Right.
Like, I know shows that have legitimate sponsors, not just comics, but
lots
in all,
shows. Yeah.
you know, I don't believe Marc Maron when he tells me that, you know, to go and buy a sex toy from Adam and Eve. Nor do I believe Dan Savage when he, you know what, I need to find a new friggin' sex advice podcast.
Yeah.
I cannot listen to Dan Savage anymore.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know, it's way too bad. But, you know, when Marc Maron tells me about 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS or whatever the
yeah.
fuck thing, like, I don't believe that.
Right. Well, it depends on how
But if he were to tell a story about it, that would hold more weight to me. So, if you want us to talk about your products and have Awesome by Comics... be a way for our listeners to learn about whatever it is you have. Just let us know what it is that you have, and we'll decide if we want to legitimately, you know, for free, because
right.
that's what we do.
Yeah.
We don't want to be in a position where our opinions of anything are taking... I mean, we don't want to be in a position where our opinions of anything are taken seriously at all. But we don't want them to seem illegitimate.
Right. So, I mean, for now, I think we will, you know, rely on subsidizing the show by the generous donations of our
yes.
of our listeners.
But
who
if
are,
you want to send us, you know, PDFs of review copies, please feel
yeah.
free.
Absolutely. All right, so let's begin the festivities.
Indeed.
Cover of the week.
Oh, how festive.
Cover of the week.
What's your cover of the week?
Vengeance, number one, by Gabriel Delotto. This is a very swanky-looking Magneto. Very old-school Magneto. He's got the purple costume with the buttons down the side. He's menacing. He's Magneto kind of thing. Oh, shit. Now he's going to play with that. I was playing with it, so I threw it on the ground so that I wouldn't play with it anymore. And now the fucking kitten's going to play with it.
Yep.
He's going to bat it around the damn house, and he's going to put it under something so that I can't find it. And then he's going to take it out
at three in the morning. Yep.
God, I'm so stupid.
You are pretty stupid.
I'm so stupid.
Anyway, continue.
This is a really cool, threatening Magneto. And Magneto, apparently, a total Puritan.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was very weird.
He was totally not into the threesome that he caught those mutants having.
Well, he not only caught them having it, he specifically sought them out.
Yeah.
He was like, I think these guys are going to have threesome videotaped sex. I will follow them and then threaten them from the window for it.
Yeah.
That was really douchey.
That was pretty douchey.
That was kind of Michelle Bachman Magneto.
Yeah.
Like her anti-porn. You know what's hilarious is you know, never mind. I don't want to get political.
Okay.
But there was a really funny thing in this big document that she signed, this pledge thing, that's like anti-pornography, anti-homosexuality, anti-choice, anti-everything, and anti-Sharia law, which, by the way, is anti the rest of that stuff.
Yeah. So that's they actually like, have that in common.
I'm against ham, I'm against cheese, I'm against lettuce, I'm against mustard, I'm against tomato, and I'm against all that being in between bread, and I love sandwiches.
Yeah. All right, my cover of the week is, which I actually didn't read this book, but I did see the cover because you got it, was Jonah Hex number 69 with cover by Jeff Lemire. It is just Jonah Hex drawn by Jeff Lemire, and if you know his work, then you can picture what that might be like.
There was a really cute scene in this with the bunch of guys hanging around at a saloon.
Yeah.
And there was a pair of antlers up on the wall.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
And anyway, he has a crow standing on his head.
Yes.
I don't know if that was related to the book at all, but okay.
Well, it was just sort of. This was I've never read an issue of Jonah Hex. I've never cared.
Right.
I still don't care about Jonah Hex. I only know of Jonah Hex from the cartoons.
Yep.
From like the two times he's shown up in Justice League or Batman Brave and the Bold. I picked this up strictly because I love Jeff Lemire's art. And it was all right. I still don't care about Jonah Hex.
Right.
And I don't particularly like Westerns. But this was all right.
Oh, yeah, well, I really liked the cover, so
yeah,
I'm giving my cover of the week, cover, even though I didn't read it.
Okay.
All right, panel of the week.
Panel of the week.
So, there were just so many good King Shark panels in Secret Six. I think I've decided to go with the one where they tell him to just go barreling into the Penguin's compound, although at this point we don't know whose compound they're at. He's just so stupid, but he's also kind of indestructible, so they figure they'll just have him like do this initial ambush. And he starts running across the thing like toward the house, and he's just singing because there's like musical notes. He's like, I'm a shark, 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 I'm a motherfucking shark. As he goes
Mother Lovin', I believe.
Well, no, it says Mother Lovin' later.
Oh.
In that panel, it's actually all symbols. So I guess it could have just been plain fucking, but I think motherfucking probably fits there
shitting
a little bit better.
It could have been a shitting shark.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was really funny. But then the sort of runner-up of the King Shark panels was when he walks into the kitchen on Deadshot and Jeanette, who have fallen asleep in the kitchen, obviously post-coitally.
Mid-coitally.
And he comes in, but he has his, like, fin, or, yeah, I guess he has hands. He has his hand over his eyes, and he's like, I just have some blubber in the fridge that I need to get, and they're like, knock yourself out. However, I do have to give, so while those are my panel and runner-up. I do have to give a lot of props to, Declan? Declan Shalvey's art in Thunderbolts.
Holy shit, during the part where
they're inside Juggernaut's mind. This was many pages, so I couldn't choose a panel.
Yeah, this is my, this whole sequence was my panel of the week.
Okay, did you want to talk about Declan Shalvey's
art? I would love to talk about Declan Shalvey's art in Thunderbolts 160, which shifts to this cave painting style.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
It was really, I was, bless you, very confused at first as to what the hell was going on.
Right.
But then quickly it was explained when Ghost said, I am inside the Juggernaut.
Right.
It was just this beautiful, muted,
very simple. So yeah, they're basically inside the Juggernaut's psyche or whatever.
Well, inside the Juggernaut's psyche, but it looked like it was probably, it looked ancient.
Yeah.
Like, and it looked like it was a representation of what this ancient hammer thing did to the Juggernaut.
Right.
When it took it over. Like, it made it completely primal, completely just like simplistic and ancient and.
Yep. Instinctual.
Instinctual.
Primitive.
Thank you. Like that sort of caveman feeling.
Right.
And it really gave you a sense. Without having any words from the Juggernaut himself, it really gave you a sense of what was happening inside him and what the transformation was.
Right.
Which is the first time in any of these damn books we've had any indication as to what exactly had happened to these guys that made them not only super powerful but also kind of crazy and stupid.
Right.
And just wreaking destruction on everything. And it looks like what happened is these beings or this power took over, painted over their psyche and created this very primitive mindset, which is the first time that at any point, I mean, Fear itself is just now starting to make the sense it should have been making 3 months ago.
Yep. They actually explain some stuff. We know who the serpent is now.
Yeah.
All of that. So, I mean, I'm not saying that they should have revealed everything earlier. It's just that earlier it was like there wasn't even a basis, there wasn't even things that you're trying to figure out. Really, it was just kind of like, what is going on?
But I mean, again, this is Thunderbolts 160, not Fear itself.
Right.
This the people who are reading Fear itself and not reading the crossovers, should see this because this is damn important.
Yep.
To not only understanding but to caring about what's happening. Like this is a significant, the art in this was a very significant and telling detail about what's going on in this story, and I'm
it was really good. Really good.
Yeah. It was really good.
All right.
Hero
of the week. Who's your hero of the week?
My hero of the week is Moon Knight, who is crazy as hell.
Yeah, he is pretty good.
From the Bendis and Maliv series with the titular character.
Yes. Titular.
Titular. He's a crazy man.
Yeah, he really is.
In this one, he dresses up like the Bullseye and goes and attacks a dude in the past.
He attacks him to know he can trust him. Right.
And then he goes to that same dude later with the Ultron head and is like, hey, what are we going to do with this Ultron head?
Right.
This was very much sort of a get to know the supporting cast issue, but it was still a very important one.
I like this character. He's an ex-SHIELD agent that Mark Spector has hired.
Yeah. What's his name again? His name is like,
I forget.
His last name is a thing. His name's like Julian Lime or something like that. I don't think that's what it is, but it's something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. My hero of the week is Taeyeon in Generation Hope, number 8.
Yes, this was great.
This was so awesome. Taeyeon, of course, is the feral mutant who...
Not so much.
Well, but he... Okay, so he's a feral mutant. No, but he is. He's a feral mutant who has, you know, was totally out of control, but then, like, Hope tamed him, and he's like, you know, he's totally... He follows her around, and all he does is say things like mate and eat, and he's, you know, very primitive, whatever.
It seems.
And his parents sue the X-Men to get custody back of him, because basically Hope just, like, showed up, touched him, and, you know, took him away. And they're like...
And you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that. And his parents were like, yeah, and his parents even said, like... I mean, it was interesting how...
They shouldn't have had to sue. Right. Really, they could have just sent the police and said, hey, we're taking that guy back.
Right, but however, I mean, yeah, exactly. It's kind of weird that it was in court, but anyway, you know, they even said, and I thought this was interesting that Karen Gillan did this, like, they weren't, like, you know, hating on the X-Men or anything, or, like, trying to say the X-Men were bad. They were just like, it's just not their decision what happens to our son, because he's still a minor or whatever.
Know, the family is right.
Yeah, and even if, you know, it's... Even if he's doing well, whatever... So Taeyeon just, and like the lawyer, the X-Men's lawyer is like, there's just no way we're going to win this. Like, this is an open and closed case. And Taeyeon just jumps onto the stand, and you're like, oh my God, what is he going to do? Because he can barely talk, this guy. And suddenly he starts making this incredibly eloquent argument as to, like, you know, what he is and why he should stay and all this stuff. And you're like, what the fuck? He can barely say like 5 words.
But he explained
why. So he explains in his big speech that he is like a being of pure instinct who will just do whatever he needs to survive, or to not to survive, but to get what he wants.
Right.
Because he's always just like wanting, you know, food or sex or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, so he's motivated purely by his needs, and his needs were to stay with the X-Men. So
when he goes around thinking eat, mate, sleep,
right,
that's what we go around thinking.
Right.
We just don't say it.
Right. So he then, you know, because he's in this situation where it do or die, he's going to have to leave the X-Men, he suddenly is able to, like, articulate this big, long argument about how he's happy and all this stuff. And and then of course, as soon as he gets back on the stand, back to his seat, he's like back to normal.
Right. Whatever. Mate.
It was pretty great.
It was fantastic.
And at first, like, it took a while for him to get to the explanation. So you're like, what in the fuck is going on?
I thought at first he was being like mind controlled or something.
Yeah, no, he just adapted. And, it was pretty
cool. This series so far is a case study that every new comic writer, or every comic writer who's taking on a team of new characters,
right,
should have to read.
I mean,
this is how you establish characterization.
Right. And I mean, the end, I mean, I was going to talk about this book later, but since we're talking about
it, I'm going to talk about it later too. So we can talk about it later.
Okay, we'll talk about it later. I was going to talk about the end of the book, which I thought was extremely interesting.
It was extremely interesting. And we'll talk about that at the end of our show.
All right. So, villain of the week. Well, my villain of the week is obviously King Shark, because he was pretty awesome in Secret Six. Not that he's really a bad villain.
No.
But, you know, Secret Six, they can be villains. So
yes.
I just and he was kind of against them originally. So King Shark was awesome, and Gale better find a way to.
He's in the new one. He's in the new DCU, I think.
I should.
He's
going to
be on
the
Suicide Squad.
Oh, okay. Well, he's pretty hilarious.
Yes,
so.
He
King
is
Shark all the way.
Hilarious. My villain of the week, also from Secret Six, but for far more villainous reasons, Ragdoll. There is no excuse for killing a penguin.
Yeah.
None.
Well, we didn't actually see him drop the penguin in King
You're
Shark's
right.
mouth.
You're
he
right.
He might not have done it.
He would have done it.
He would have. I'm not saying he
didn't.
He would have done it. Right.
Had Penguin not.
Basically, they're trying to bully Penguin into giving them information and joining the team, basically. And
they do so by threatening to feed a penguin of the penguin to King Shark. And yes, sharks eat penguins.
Yes, so that's fine. King Shark can eat penguins.
Sure. No, King Shark cannot eat penguins. Regular Shark can eat penguins.
Yeah, but King Shark is a shark. It's a shark. It's a shark. He's a motherfucking shark.
Yeah, and he can eat a fucking hamburger. Or... Morningstar Farms soy penguin. There's no excuse for killing a penguin.
All right.
None. You hear me, God?
What about so
penguins
that
should be immortal? What?
What about so that seals can eat?
Seals can eat fish.
They can also eat penguin.
No. Seals can only eat fish. Okay. Sharks can eat fish, too.
Yes.
And I realize, yes, I'm killing fish. I mean, I'm not killing fish, but I am okay with the deaths of fish.
Yes, but not with
fish. And I will say, fully recognize, yes, I am okay with the deaths of fish so that seals and sharks may live. Not
penguins.
And so
that penguins may live.
Penguins need to eat fish, too. Exactly. Yes. Fish are a fantastic foodstuff. A culinary masterpiece. You hear me, God? Well done with the fish.
All right. Yes.
But
you're
yes,
right.
There
that
is
was
no
very
excuse
sad.
For a similar reason. My co-villain of the week is Greg Pak, because there is no excuse for killing a dog.
Did he kill a dog?
Greg Pak didn't kill a dog, but Greg Pak had the Red Skull kill several dogs.
Boo.
In the Red Skull book. And the dog catcher had to kill several dogs as well. A lot of dog killing. A lot of dog killing in the Red Skull. And I recognize, you know, you're trying to establish this character as evil and not sympathetic, and that's a pretty good way to do it.
Yeah.
But still very disturbing, and even fictional dog killing is not okay.
Right.
Boo, I say. Boo. Even though I totally recognize the importance of doing it in a story context.
Okay, super.
So I guess the Red Skull, not Greg Pak, should have been my co-villain of the week for dog killing.
Right.
I was just mad.
I know. Surprise.
Sorry. I lashed out Greg. I apologize.
Surprise of the week.
Surprise of the week.
What's your surprise?
Two. First, the end of the last Irredeemable. 26, mm-hmm. Another irredeemable show, another Plutonian shows up.
Okay.
Like the same dude. And it's not explained. Because it was like the last scene with the Plutonian, and then the next scene is Qubit and what's his face teleporting in.
Okay.
The beginning of the next Irredeemable, they explain why there was a second Plutonian, which is that the villain they're fighting has tachyon hammers for hands. And can punch you so hard, you go back in time.
Mm.
So the Plutonian attacked him in this book, and the guy punched him so hard, he went back in time to the previous book.
That's really
which
hilarious.
Is fucking awesome.
Yeah, that is really
that is
awesome.
That is comic booking right yeah. there. That is Mark Waid comic booking. That's how you do it. And that was just like mind-blowingly awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
And then he did it again and like created a third one the second one was talking to the first one who's like wait I know what's good. Don't attack him. He's yeah. just gonna and then the next one attacks right. him and then it loops back around and it's a fantastic sequence.
That's pretty funny.
Going from the end of Irredeemable 26 to the beginning of Irredeemable 27. Brilliant work by Mark Waid there. And my second much sadder surprise of the week, spoiler alert, if you're reading Sweet Tooth in trade, fast forward a bunch, spoiler alert, Gus gets shot.
Yeah, that was sad. I mean, you know he's not gonna die because he's the main character of this book that isn't finished yet.
Right, that's named after him.
Right. But still, he gets shot like right in the gut, and you don't know why, you don't know who did it.
Right, and I assume that'll all be explained, and it's probably going to be, what's his name?
The guy. The guy
who's from the guy? The Indian name.
You think
yeah.
Dr. Singh?
It's Dr. Singh, thank you. I think it's Dr. Singh.
I thought it might be the guy that they're staying with, who's getting really, you know. First of all, we don't know if the guy that they're...
weird.
Well... either the guy who they've been staying with has been evil all along and he's just been pretending not to be and he's been lying to them, whatever, or he's been telling the truth, but because they don't really trust him and they're being kind of mean to him and he's kind of weird, he's getting...
weird.
He's getting even weirder and he's getting kind of...
well, there was like some relation hinted at in there where it was like somebody might have been somebody's kid or something.
Well, he said that the girl, what's her name? I forget who what the teenager's name is, but
I
he's like
too.
She reminds me.
Right.
You remind me of my daughter.
And then they liked the same book when they were.
Yeah, and they liked the same book or whatever, and he was just being creepy, and so she was like, "I'm gonna go now."
Yeah.
And he felt.
There was a lot of
bad.
This book was a really fantastic sort of come down back into the ultra paranoid on the run from the world.
Yeah.
Setting that this book has had from the last two, which have felt very safe.
Right.
The last two sweet teeth have felt very safe. And
yeah.
This one was a return to form and very jarring and excellent, as
yep.
always.
Very good. Yeah, that was one of my surprises about Gus. The other thing that I guess is supposed to be a surprise is that the purple man is behind all the Heroes for Hire stuff, but I don't know who he is, so I don't really care.
Yeah, you need to read the rest of Alias.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did start Alias, but that's another one that I need to go back and finish.
Yeah, you do.
I really enjoyed that a lot, and then I don't remember what it was that derailed me.
Life.
I guess, yeah.
I've got it all, so.
Yeah. All right. Crap of the week. Okay, my crap of the week is that there were too many juggernauts.
There was a lot of juggernauts.
There was a lot of juggernaut.
Like every fucking Fear Itself tie-in had the juggernaut.
In
eight different states.
Yeah, basically, I mean, I realize that the juggernaut is kind of like the main adversary right now.
He's not.
I mean, well, they've made him, so.
Yes, they have.
And it's like, they're supposed to be like seven of these guys all over the world doing shit with the hammers. And they've decided that they're only going to show us the fight with the Juggernaut.
Well, no, we see the Thing in the Avengers books.
Oh, yeah, the Thing is in the Avengers books. You're right. But so the Juggernaut was like, it was basically the same through a bunch of the Fear Itself books. It was like the Juggernaut is like the, you know, even more unstoppable than ever. And all these people just trying to like figure out different ways to stop him.
Right.
And that's fine. But like it was like four or five different titles.
He was in Thunderbolts.
Happened.
He was in The Youth in Revolt. He was in the X-Men. He was in Wolverine.
Right.
He was in regular Fear Itself. Juggernauting.
And he's like on the cover of all these too. And it's
yeah.
Like,
and in like eight
all he's doing is just
places.
Running and screaming.
Yeah.
And everyone's like
in weird fonts.
Yeah. So
does anyone have a like dupe speak? Does anyone have a translator for this font? Like, do we know what they're saying?
I don't know.
I'm sure
possibly.
Somebody must have.
Anyway, it's not that it's not that I was not okay with the storyline. It was just
no.
Like,
I mean, all the storylines
like,
were fine, but it was like, why can't we use some of the other goddamn
right.
like? Why, where's
right.
the Grey Gargoyle?
Now, I mean, his use in Thunderbolts was awesome.
Yes,
and it makes sense that he would have been in X-Men, but like. Yeah.
He didn't need to be in Youth and Revolt. They could have used somebody else.
Yeah. So, anyway.
A lot of juggernauts.
Yep. What's your crap?
My crap of the week is the Hal Jordan scene in Flashpoint number 3.
Oh.
Which was...
Oh my God, that was so silly.
It was absurd. It was... And Flashpoint 3 was all right. Both the both
Yeah, no, I thought it was okay.
The,
I was,
both of the big,
I was totally okay with it.
The big event main books this week... Flashpoint 3 and Fear Itself 4 were good. They were both advanced the storyline pretty well. I enjoyed both very much. But God damn it, Geoff Johns, get Hal Jordan's fictional dick out of your mouth.
Yeah, so this scene is like they're Thomas Wayne and Barry Allen are looking over old newspapers because
well, no, what's going on is Barry Allen
oh,
says
it's not old newspapers.
Barry Allen says Reverse Flash has gone back and tried to eliminate the any idea of me putting the league together.
Right.
I can't make a Justice League because of this Reverse Flash's
right.
machinations.
Right.
And the first one he thinks about is Hal Jordan.
Well, they are like best friends.
They're best friends, but
that's
if you're
not
trying
even the problem.
To, but if you're trying to right, that's not even the
that's
problem.
That's not the problem.
But if legitimately speaking, if you're trying to stop the greatest enemy in the world, you go for Superman
well,
first.
Well, he did go for Superman next.
Last.
But I guess he did go for Superman last. But the problem is not that he thinks Hal Jordan first, because whatever, they're best friends. He's going to think of that.
The problem is, he goes like, well, Abin Sur, the alien, blah, blah, blah. And that means Hal Jordan didn't get the ring. And then Thomas Wayne says,
You mean Captain Hal Highball Jordan, the famous test pilot from Ferris Air?
Like, as if Hal Jordan would be so fucking famous that some doctor who's hidden himself in a cave for, like, right. the however many years and goes out and fights crime
would not only know who he was, but use his goddamn nickname.
Right, yeah. That was just Jeff Johns.
That was just Jeff Johns with Hal Jordan dick in his mouth.
Yeah, that
and
was kind of
that's not at all
crazy.
Homophobic.
It's just a statement.
It's
of,
just the way it is.
Yeah.
If it was a female character Jeff Johns would be obsessed with, I would use the other. I would say vagina.
Right.
Jeff Johns is just so in love with his own characterization. And I'm pretty sure Hal Jordan is a Mary Sue for Jeff Johns. At this point.
Yeah.
So really, Jeff Johns is self-filleting every time he writes Hal Jordan into a book where Hal Jordan doesn't belong.
Right. No, I mean, it would have been fine to mention in this whole thing where I can't put the Justice League together, oh, Abin Sur is still alive. That means that Hal is no longer Green Lantern. So
but you got to go with Superman first.
Well, yeah. Okay, I'm just saying, Hal Jordan could have come up, but
yes,
yeah, the way in which
he came up... He could have come up in a way less... preposterous than this.
Yeah. So, you know, and I am not prepared.
I will freely say that a lot of this is the fact that I hate Jeff Johns as Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
I really hate that character.
Yeah. It's well, I mean,
which probably means I hate Jeff Johns as a human being.
I don't know.
Because I'm guessing Jeff Johns as a human being is a lot like Hal Jordan as written by Jeff Johns.
I'm not going to conjecture that. However,
that's my guess and it's pure speculation.
However,
I've never met Jeff Johns.
It was
he might be a very lovely man.
But I will say that I actually did enjoy Flashpoint.
Well, so did I.
This is not a knock actually on the book at all. And in fact, I'm very pleasantly surprised.
I've enjoyed it probably more than Fear Itself.
So, yeah.
Although the tie-ins for Fear Itself have been better.
Yeah. Yeah, the Flashpoint tie-ins. Well, no, I like the ones that Abnett and Lanning have done.
Yes.
Those have been good.
But
Wonder Woman and the Lois Lane ones.
The Canterbury Cricket
Canterbury
one.
Canterbury Cricket.
Left a little to be desired.
Yeah.
And this
anyway.
week's Secret... Oh, God. This week's Secret 7 probably would have been my crap of the week. But I don't know anything about Shade the Changing Man. So I imagine if you have some connection to this character, maybe this was great. I don't know.
No idea.
I don't know anything about Shade. It was just kind of hacky. And it's Peter Milligan, which I hate to see hacky Peter Milligan.
Yeah.
Because hacky Peter Milligan is so obvious.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he would be hacky on this, because this is his character.
Right.
I think this is his character, right? Yeah. Peter Milligan's the Shade the Changing Man guy.
I have no idea. I don't even know who the Shade the Changing Man is.
I'm nearly positive.
All right.
I don't either. And I've never read any of his books. But I know a lot of people like him, and I'm 95% positive it's Peter Milligan who either created him or who made him famous at Vertigo.
Okay. All right, comic-related non-comic item of the week.
Comic-related non-comic item of the week.
What? Are you going to talk about Law and Order?
Oh, I was just going to add it.
That was
since we
bad.
Just watched it. Oh yeah, so
that show is bad.
Yeah, it's a bad show.
That is a bad show.
Law and Order. Although I did hear someone say that this was a really bad episode.
This was a really bad episode.
Law and Order: Criminal Intent.
I mean, I don't watch this show.
I have seen it before, and I don't feel like it was this bad before.
I haven't seen it in years.
Law and Order: Criminal Intent. A few weeks ago, and we just watched it tonight, which is why we're talking about it now
on DVD.
A few weeks ago had a. Now, we wouldn't normally DVR Law and Order Criminal Intent, but there were two reasons that we did. One is that it was based on the Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Yes.
shenanigans. Like, there's somebody gets killed in an accident and blah, 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 blah. The other thing is that the expert, it didn't turn out to be a witness, but the expert sort of assistance from a mythology professor was because the whole thing, it's not about Spider-Man, it's about the story of Icarus and Daedalus.
Uh-huh.
The mythology professor is played by Patti Smith, who, seeing her play a mythology professor, made me think, like, how was she ever anything but a mythology professor? Because really, Punk pioneered was not what was being telegraphed there.
No. I have to say, I was disappointed. We only had like 30 seconds of Patti Smith.
I know. And she was good. She totally did the like sort of kooky academic thing.
She was
like,
probably the best. Oh, no. Cynthia Nixon
was pretty good as like the Julie Taymor character. Now, the funny thing about this show was that twice Vincent D'Onofrio references Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark and Julie Taymor as something that had occurred before this.
It's not even like it's
supposed to be that. It's like, you know, the whole Spider-Man thing already happened. Julie Taymor already got fired. And now here's like another like big, you know.
Another famous producer with an identical resume. Another giant rock star.
Yeah, this is a director.
Director, yes.
Giant rock star writing the music. Like, I don't know, you know why they... it would have been much better if they just hadn't referenced Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Like, but maybe they sort of had to make it like, we promise this is not Spider-Man or something.
Right?
Like
but
that.
It clearly was.
Yeah, it was pretty...
Why would any producer, after seeing what happened to Spider-Man, do the exact same thing again?
Yeah. It was quite an amusing episode, because even though it was like really badly written and like so much of the stuff was like so overwrought.
Terribly acted.
It was all about, you know, the story of Daedalus and Icarus, and Icarus flies too close to the sun because of hubris. And like, then of course, that's like the lesson that the criminal learned at the end, because he burned himself from hubris.
Oh,
and it was just
God.
So insane. This Although was... I had to say, like, within the first 5 minutes, there's like this interaction between the guy who plays the like Bono rock star character and the guy who plays the lead actor.
Mm-hmm.
And like Bono, like, it's not Bono, it's some American dude, but I'm just going to call him Bono.
Yeah.
Goes up to the actor and is like, he's like, I hear that you have a problem with the Minotaur song. And like, that just cracked me up. Because like, you don't really, I mean, you know what the play is about, but like, that was actually, I think, an intentionally funny line. He's just like, so I hear you have a problem with the Minotaur song, because the whole thing is making fun of the fact that like, there's this like serious rock star who wrote all this music for this thing. And it's like such shit. Like, this music is just such shit. And yeah, it's and they have like they play some of the songs that are just like so funny. So I think this show was both terrible and brilliant at the same time. I can't really say one.
Yeah,
or the other.
It was. I agree. It was. I mean, it was bad, but I didn't want to stop watching.
Right. Of course. Yeah. It was pretty hilarious. Anyway, so if you can somehow find a way to watch that, I guess I recommend it.
Yes. Number two is that in 2 weeks, we will be at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes, we will be at San Diego. We aren't getting in until Friday night, so we will only be there Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
But
well, what time Friday night are we getting in? We might do someone like the partying. We might go to the parties.
Yeah, I think we probably get in time.
Yeah, we'll go hit the parties. So if anyone's going to any cool parties...
Yes, be sure to let
us
know.
We love to party. A really weird thing happened to me this week.
I know.
Which I tweeted about on Twitter. And by the way, if you want to be my Twitter pal, Aaron ABCP. Love to have more Twitter pals. Because I am becoming so fascinated with these people.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
Shh. They might be listening. But I'm so like, I follow all these like comic book people. And they're all like way more interesting than I thought they were.
Yeah.
And like after New York last year, like getting to know Chris and Huge and David Uzumeri and Chris
Wolkin and Birdie and
Murphy. Chris Murphy.
Yeah.
David Wolkin. Well, we had known Wolkin for a little bit.
Yeah.
Benjamin Birdie. Yeah. All these people are great people. And like, I hate people. But
Aaron really does hate people.
I
when
do
we say
legitimately,
that, when we say that, we're not just like, exaggerating his personality.
No, this is legitimately like, I cannot drive down the fucking street without comical steam coming out of my ears, you know, Yosemite Sam style, at something somebody's doing that I slightly disapprove of. I'm
that
like,
really you should just not even notice or care
about. But I'm a crazy person, yeah. So that's what I do. But learning about all these folks at Comic-Con last year, New York Comic-Con, and now having gotten to know more, like we only hung out with Sue from DC Women Kicking Ass like 5 minutes,
right.
If that, at the Comics Alliance panel. We can, if she's going to San Diego, I don't know if she's going to San Diego. We should totally hang out with her. We should totally hang out with Kelly from all the Three Chicks Review Comics ladies.
We had a lot of fun hanging out with like Paul Tobin and Colleen.
Yes, we went to lunch with Tom Fowler. We went to dinner with Tom and Paul and Colleen and
a bunch of other people.
Gabriel Hardman, was he there?
No,
he was supposed to go, but he couldn't.
Right.
But it was so great meeting all these people, and I'm getting the itching to socialize. And I'm like, is this what people feel like?
This is, in fact, what people feel like on a regular basis.
I know. That's crazy.
I know.
That's crazy. But like, I'm so fascinated. Like there's a girl who listens to this show. I shouldn't call her a girl, a woman. I have no idea how old she is.
Okay.
But I think she makes like actual pornography.
Yeah.
And she listens to our show. And I totally want to.
You're just completely fascinated. You want to meet her.
I'm utterly fascinated by this person. And like, there's this guy who, the guy who writes Gun Show, which is like my favorite webcomic.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go and hang out with this guy because he seems so friggin' funny.
Well, I'm not going to discourage any of this, obviously.
I'm like just so utterly fascinated by this feeling of wanting to not just not be antisocial, but to actually be social. And maybe it's my therapy. Maybe my therapy's paying off.
Maybe.
We've been working on this. Like
good.
Me and D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
Me and D'Onofrio's character have a lot in common, except
yes.
that I don't apparently fly off the handle. There was one little bit of like non-Icarus related plot, which has to do with like, I guess, D'Onofrio.
And his relationship with his
and
hot
his relationship
therapist.
With his, she wasn't that hot.
Well,
she was like,
well, whatever.
Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, hot.
Yeah,
like older British-ish.
Yeah.
Anyway, she is, I guess, the police psychologist or something.
And
D'Onofrio was getting. It seemed like maybe D'Onofrio was getting too D'Onofrio for the NYPD, and they're like, D'Onofrio, you got to tone down the D'Onofrio.
Right.
We are sending you to a therapist.
Right.
And then they get into a little melee.
A little melee.
A little melee. Is it pronounced melee?
No,
it's melee.
It's melee. I was just dicking around.
Evie.
Anyway.
Quit this charade.
So anyway, we are going to be at San Diego.
Yes,
Aaron is
going
to be wearing party hats.
I'm not going to be wearing party hats. I'm going to be wearing probably Oakland A's hats because that's all I have. No, I've got a crab hat.
Right. Lakewood Blue Claws.
Lakewood Blue Claws. I probably won't wear any hat.
Okay.
If I'm guessing. That's what I should do. I should say I'm not going to be wearing any hat. But if I feel like not socializing, I'll put on a hat. And people who will go by and look, is that Aaron? No, it can't be. He's
can't
wearing
be.
A
he's
hat.
He's not going to wear a hat.
Shh. I'm going to have to edit this part out of the show.
So, yes, we will be there. I'm getting really hot, so I want to like.
You're getting hot for San Diego?
No, I'm just getting. It's warm in here.
Oh, it is warm in here,
I
yeah.
just don't know how much longer I can sit here.
I think we can go two more categories.
All right. So, I was also going to mention
the
New York Times profile of Chris Evans.
Oh, God. Oh, goodness.
Well, did you read the New York Times?
Yes, I read the New York Times one.
So David Itzkoff wrote a profile of Chris Evans where he basically just talks about Chris Evans in therapy, and it's really kind of cute. You didn't think it was cute?
A little squeamy.
It was a little squeamy.
It made me a little squeamy.
You just talked about your therapy in public.
I know.
Chris Evans is just doing the same thing.
Well, I mean, here's the way it ends is pretty much exactly the way I felt about the whole piece, which is like, oh, these are great problems to have, boo-hoo.
Right.
Which, yeah, they are great.
No, but
to have.
He acknowledges that, but it's just
I know, it's interesting,
you know?
Actors, ridiculously good-looking, hunky actors who fuck GQ chicks, writers, profilers, whatever they, whatever she was.
I don't know if they actually did that, but yeah.
I'm sure they did.
Anyway.
They're people, too. People who...
Anyway, it was an interesting article. Everyone knows that he's incredibly privileged, but it was just an interesting article. And it had some great Robert Downey Jr. quotes, I thought, so...
Yes.
Anyway. All right, first or last book of the week.
First or last of the week.
I'm gonna go with Spider-Girl number 8.
I'm also go with Spider-Girl number 8.
Which was the last of the just delightful Paul Tobin Spider-Girl series that is sadly coming there. I guess there is going to be Amazing Spider-Girl number 1 as part of Spider-Island or something.
I really
but it's gonna
don't
be just
know
a
what
mini-series.
The Spider-Island thing is going to be about.
Basically, apparently, Spider Island is about like everyone in New York getting spider powers, and that just seems silly. Bizarre. But I'll see. I will. You know, I've been liking Spider-Man
lately.
Like,
that sounds like, you know, Silver Age Superman storyline, where like a town of Superman, kind of thing.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, Spider-Girl was great. She takes down.
Ass.
Yeah, she kicked ass. She got her. She got her powers back, probably related to the whole Spider Island thing.
Well, they said it was related to the whole Spider Island thing because over in a little box it said,
"Right,
everyone's getting spider powers. Yeah, read Spider Island."
But anyway, she
that's the voice I imagine those text boxes read in.
She got her spider powers back. She took down Raven, which was this organization that had killed her father, and she saves her roommate and her roommate's father. And
and gets thunderous applause from the Red Hulk and Spider-Man who have been helping throughout this whole series.
Yep.
It was this is a really it's really sad that the comics industry cannot support a book like this.
Yeah, it is very sad.
It's incredibly sad. But it's the way it is. Which is again incredibly sad because this book was fantastic.
I will say that Vengeance number one was completely confusing. I have no idea what's going on, but it might be good. It might have been good, and it might eventually be good.
Wasn't good, but it might be good in the future.
Yeah.
It had promise.
Yes.
The little bits and pieces of the story that we got were intriguing enough that I'll stick with it.
Yes.
I also will say that I, this is totally unrelated to First or Last of the Week, but I just thought of it now.
Okay.
When Image put out its two color titles, Blue Estate and Green Wake, or maybe it's Green Estate and Blue Wake.
It's Blue Estate.
Blue Estate and Green Wake. I read the first issue of both, decided to follow Blue Estate in issues, Green Wake in trade, and based on what I heard about Green Wake this week, it looks like I may have erred in judgment, and Blue Estate was just kind of all right.
All right.
Blue Estate has not congealed yet. Actually, this is why I remembered it, is the first issue of Blue Estate felt very much like the first issue of Vengeance. Mm-hmm. Very disjointed, very, you know, eight stories going on at once.
Right.
They have not yet turned into one story.
Gotcha.
I thought they were going to after the second issue. In the second issue, in fact, the woman, Rachel, was, I believe, my hero of the week for being fascinating.
Yes.
But then we didn't see her at all last issue, and she's only there for like a couple scenes in this one, so has not yet congealed, not yet coalesced.
That's right. All right.
Become copacetic.
Book of the week.
Book of the week.
What's your book of the week?
I had so goddamn much fun reading Generation Hope number 8.
Yeah, it was really good.
I loved Sweet Tooth. It was brilliant. It was powerful. It was a textbook case of how to manipulate a reader from feeling safe to feeling paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fucking downer, man.
Yeah, it was a downer.
It was a downer. Jeffy Downer. So instead, I'm going to go with Generation Hope number 8, which was equally good and equally textbook, but of how to introduce
new characters, build
their dynamics with each other.
Yep.
Their dynamics with the rest of the world, their interactions with the established characters. This is absolutely how to do a series like this.
To me, the fascinating thing about Generation Hope, which was also my book of the week, although Secret Six kind of tied, was the end where Kenji and Edie, is it Edie or is it the other one? I can't remember if it was Kenji or if it was Edie.
It was Kenji and Edie, wasn't it?
Right, no, I couldn't remember if it was Kenji and Edie or Kenji and the other girl, but I think it's Kenji and Edie.
I think it was too.
They are having a conversation after this whole thing happens with Taeyeon, and they both realize that they all kind of worship Hope, and they'll kind of do anything for her, and they realize this, and they're like, this feels wrong. Like, she's getting me to do stuff I would never do, and, you know, it's not so much like mind control, but they feel like they're being controlled in a way that is not them. And so they, you don't really know what they're going to do, but like they're definitely on guard for this, from this whole like X-Men situation. And it wasn't like, they weren't like evilly plotting or anything. They were just really interesting. Like they were just like, what the, you know, this is, you know, she came and she like saved us or whatever, but now we're so beholden to her that we're like not, it seems like a prison in a way. Yeah. And, so they're going to like really figure that all out. Really
subtle. And,
yeah.
And
it was very subtle and very like,
and you know, it changes the way you look at the last seven issues of this
series. Totally. I mean, you think of her as like, oh my God, she saved these kids whose powers were out of control and she's going to create the new like X-Men and it's all going to be great.
Maybe she did, but maybe she also did some other stuff.
Right. And you know, you get the feeling that like she has a power over them that they are recognizing is,
and maybe she doesn't even know.
Well, no, I think she probably doesn't know. I don't think that she is deliberately doing anything, but somehow her like incredibly intense power has some kind of like, especially over these new, you know, these brand new mutants or whatever, mm-hmm. has some almost mind control-y kind of
like a pheromone kind of deal, like
and they're these two have realized it,
yeah,
and they're not comfortable with it, and it's,
as well they shouldn't be,
right? And the others, you know, are just like, oh my God, hope is everything, you know.
Well, they haven't noticed yet,
and they just haven't noticed that.
So now we'll see what happens if these guys go back and tell them, if they just wait to see, if they observe, if they rebel in some way.
Yeah, no idea. Anyway, it was very good, and Secret Six, of course, was just funny. And they go and there was an awesome Bane Catman thing in the beginning where. Mm-hmm. Bane is sort of figuring his whole thing out, and like he and Catman have this like really intense conversation while they're like beating each other up.
Well, no, it's Catman punching Bane,
right? And Bane is not really fighting back.
Bane is not fighting back until the very end, where he grabs Catman's hand and is like, "Oh, I'm going to break your hand now."
Right. But anyway, just great interaction with these characters. They go and they recruit the Penguin against his will.
Still upsetting.
But there were some great Penguin lines, and I wish I could remember them. Like when he's just like flailing at them, like when they first come in.
Yeah.
And accusing them of stuff. I just don't remember. I don't have it in front of me.
I don't either.
But it was pretty hilarious. It was a pretty good Penguin representation.
So here's the question.
What's the question?
The $10 question.
What's that?
Do you have $10? No. The $10 million question is, what are we doing next week and the week after?
And the week after.
I kind of feel like we should do a show from San Diego,
well,
right?
Well, yeah. So next week we are going to Boston for a wedding.
Uh-huh.
We will be coming back on Sunday, but I don't know what time we'll have to read books and all of that.
We can, I mean, bring stuff with us, but we'll have some time on Friday. Actually, I'm going to go play catch with Tom Caters this weekend.
That's right. That will be fun.
It will be super fun.
But we're just not sure how much time we're going to have.
Maybe we could do the show with him. Just bring our shit to his house like we did with Ron.
Are we going to have time for that?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Plus, that'd be rude. Tom, we're coming over.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll figure that out. The weekend after is Comic-Con.
Weekend after is
and
San Diego,
yes. We should definitely, if you don't mind bringing your stuff, we should definitely
I'll bring my laptop. That's cool.
I mean, we did that when we went to San Francisco.
We did. Yep.
Right. So, it
and that wasn't
be
even
that hard.
A Comic-Con.
Right, we just did the show with Ron, but we can do it. We can find someone there to do the show, or we can just do the show and have.
Well, I'm not going to bring my shit to the.
No. But like
thing itself.
No, of course not. But we could.
We're going to bring someone back to you, like your aunt's house.
No, I guess we're not going to do that. All right. Well, anyway, we'll figure it out. We might also just like record people.
Yeah,
saying
we'll
stuff
record
like
people
we've
saying
done
stuff.
Before.
Although
that's a lot of editing.
That's a lot of editing, and I'm going to be on goddamn vacation.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
The following weekend, we will be coming back. We do actually come back Saturday. So, again, we could conceivably do a show when we get back on July 31st.
Mm-hmm. So, there's like 3 weeks in a row that we're.
There's 3 weeks in a row that we are traveling, and we will try to do what we can.
Yeah.
Basically.
But we'll let you know what's going to happen.
Yep.
Whether there's going to be a full on thing. We might do a show with no editing.
Could happen.
Just talk it out.
Yep.
Walk it off. We might do. I don't know what we'll do.
We'll figure it out. But just be forewarned that we are traveling the next 3 weeks.
These next 3 weeks will be a little weird.
Yep.
And the show, when there is a show, which might be all 3 weeks, it might be 2 out of 3, it might be 1 out of 3.
Yep.
And the show might be a little weird.
It'll be weird.
It'll be a little weird.
All right, I gotta get out of this room. So.
Okay, go in there.
Okay, so have an awesome
I'm gonna
week.
Talk to the people for a bit.
Okay.
Hello, the people. I'm not actually gonna talk to you. Have an awesome week, the people. I want someone out there, one of our listeners, to explain to me Leroy Jenkins. Because...
Who's Leroy Jenkins?
That's my question. Is that during the King Shark sequence in Secret Six, I kept thinking, God, this is just like Leroy Jenkins. And then I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? So I looked it up and I was like, why would I have even known this?
What
it is there's like a video, and I don't know why this was videotaped, of some guys playing like, I don't know if it was World of Warcraft or like one of those multiplayer video game things that the kids play these days. And they're like a bunch of guys planning to go and attack a hut of some sort.
All right.
And then one of them decides to yell Leroy Jenkins.
Okay.
And the rest of the guys get mad. And my problem is that I don't understand this game.
Right.
Like, I don't understand, were they playing against other players who then heard this guy yell Leroy Jenkins? But if they heard the guy yell Leroy Jenkins, they surely would have heard the guys talking about strategy.
Right.
Like, I don't really understand why this was a problem and why this became a thing, a meme,
I have
as
no
it
idea.
Were.
I could, I...
It is. It is. If you Google...
Zero idea.
If you Google Leroy Jenkins, it'll explain sort of what it is, but I still don't understand why it's a big deal. Like, why this became a meme. Like, I don't get what him yelling Leroy Jenkins did in the context of this game, because I don't know anything about this game.
Right.
Whatever game it was. I think it was World of Warcraft. I'm pretty sure.
Could be like Halo or something.
I think there was like it was like a troll. there's something trollish involved.
Anyway, you didn't know what it was.
I didn't know what it was, but that was my first thought when reading this King Shark thing was, this is Leroy Jenkins. And then I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that is. But I did know what it was, sort of. I knew what it was enough to make the reference in my head. I still don't understand why that meme came to be a meme and what is funny about it.
All right. So
most memes
respond,
I get. I understand the humor.
Right.
This one I don't.
Okay.
So please explain this meme to me.
But anyway.